Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
How are you doing? Your household, everybody in your home, how are they doing? Wherever you are tuned in from this morning, just know that we are with you. If you're heading out to the hospital to go and see, you know, a family member who is not well, we're praying for God's healing over your family member, your friend, or your loved one. For those of you who unfortunately have lost your loved ones too, and you're traveling for funerals or you're already there, we ask God to comfort you. If you're working out, you're on the road driving, wherever you may find yourself, please be safe. And for all of you, we plead God's presence over your life. We appreciate the fact that regardless, you're always tuned in and listening, and that propels us a lot. Thank you. This morning, we're going to have a conversation. It's a series of conversations we're having, you know. And this morning, we're talking about manipulation, gaslighting, and stonewalling. These are, I mean, some people have described them as emotional abusive tools that some partners employ in a relationship just to punish their partners for something they may have done. Or people employ it just to avoid communication, to avoid talking about an issue, so they can remain there. Today we want to find out, okay, what are these? You're in a relationship and your partner is always stonewalling. They're gaslighting you. They're manipulating you. What really does it mean? How does it affect you? And that's what we always want to look at. How does it affect you as an individual? How does it affect the relationship as a whole? And if you find yourself in such a situation, especially so by the time we're done having the discussion and you realize that, oh, apparently this is what I have been dealing with. By the grace of God, we are able to provide some guidance as to how you are able to handle those situations. Remember that ultimately, these are things that can affect your mental health and your well-being. That is why we have some of these conversations. For you to have that beautiful relationship, you need to be well in your mind. You need to be well in your soul. You need to be well in your heart. Of course, you cannot pour from an empty cup. And so it's important that you're well, and then you're able to build the relationship. That's what we're going to talk about. Now let's get into our conversation. We're talking about stonewalling, gaslighting, and manipulation, and how are all of these hurting your relationship? In your relationship is you. So we'll start with, how is it even hurting you? But before, I want us to understand what these things are. What are these concepts? You know, I mentioned that when you read around it, a lot of people have described it as communication defects, and they are emotionally abusive tools that people employ, you know, in relationships, either to stop having conversations or to just don't want to talk about whatever it is so they can continue to rule. But to us here, what is it? Your stonewalling, your gaslighting, your manipulation. I'll start with you, Ariel.
Oh, you got me there. You need to breathe there. Yeah. But okay, so good question. I want to actually read one definition of each of these.
Okay.
Because sometimes they can they look alike. And you need to understand this very well. So I'll just read these three definitions, one for stonewalling, gaslighting, and manipulation. Stonewalling involves refusing to communicate with another person and withdrawing from the conversation to create distance between the individual and their partner. Intentionally shutting down during an argument, also known as silent treatment. Mm. So stonewalling is also what we call silent treatment. And this is very hurtful to relationship. Now, gaslighting is a form of psychological abuse or manipulation in which the abuser attempts to sow self-doubt and confusion in their victim's mind. Typically, gaslighters are seeking to gain power and control over the other person by distorting reality and forcing them to question their own judgment and intuition
of themselves.
Yeah, and this is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Gaslighting, very, very dangerous. Now, the two, stonewalling and gaslighting are all tools that a manipulator will use. Yeah. So manipulation in relationship also means a person is using mental distortion and emotional exploitation to influence and control others. Mm. Their intent is to have power and control over others to get what they want. Someone who manipulates you knows your weakness and will use them against you. If the person doing the manipulation is getting what they want from you, the manipulation will continue until you decide to stop it.
Great.
Yeah. So these are the definition. Now, like I was saying,
so simply, gaslighting will, okay, no, let me start with
stonewalling.
Stonewalling will be people avoiding
conversations,
yeah, you know, and then gaslighting will be ultimately, it is to create doubt in you.
In you, distorting your truth.
Yes. Yeah. And make you not... It's interesting. You're saying this, but the person makes you believe that what you're saying is not what it is.
What you saw and know is not what you saw and know.
Please go on.
And manipulation is, when the person is trying to take control over you, making your decisions for you. Now, there's one thing about manipulation that is very, very subtle. The person make it seem they are helping you with all the things they are doing, in as much that it takes away your own power of deciding, your own power of making your choices, because they make it seem, I'm helping you, I'm doing this because of you. But then it is serving them by having control and power over you. So a manipulator can use gaslighting. A manipulator can also use stonewalling because they want to have control over you. Now, these treatments or emotional things we are mentioning are things that people use in relationship, sometimes intentionally, and sometimes they are even unaware that they are behaving this way. They are unaware. It's because they have used it as a coping mechanism for a very long time in their life. From childhood, they started using that. Mommy is shouting on her, he hides, he doesn't talk. So they grow up with these, patterns, and now it becomes something that's how they function. So for them, it's a normal. For you, it's a trigger, because you don't know why I want to just talk about this simple thing of not answering my call, and you don't want to talk about it. So these things play a lot in relationship, because some people, it's their normal, their habit, their behavior. That's how they function. That's how they behave. Some people do it intentionally because they are gaining something from you. They are benefiting from you. And so when you want to talk about the important things, they don't want to open up those stone wall. They'll postpone it. They'll tell you, no, there's nothing to talk about. Now, gaslighting, when someone is gaslighting you, it means that they know very well you have a worth. You have a value. They don't want you to see your own truth. So everything they do, they will turn it around for you not to be able to pinpoint what they are doing wrong. And that is one of the most dangerous mental health conditions somebody can go through. Because you start doubting yourself so much that your reality of what you are seeing becomes like a dream. Like, it can let you think you have a mental, yes, like you're losing your mind. Because you're seeing something and then the person makes you believe that's not what you saw. Totally, are you crazy? What are you talking about? So it's very dangerous, gaslighting. Now, manipulation, dear, the person makes it all about you not having the choice to take decisions on your own. They are helping you, but they are benefiting somehow in all the things they make you seem they are doing for you. Manipulation can be very subtle. You won't see it. That this person is manipulating me for a very long time, until one day you realize, I haven't been the one, calling the shots in my own life for a very long time. Because the person may not be shouting on you, angry, mistreating you, but yet in a very simple way, in the background, everything they are doing is manipulation, because they know your weaknesses and they are using it to to take control over you. These are how these three treatments play out in relationships.
Great. This is proper emotional torture. And interestingly, it's happening in a lot of relationships, daily. Fiji.
I think that Ariel did justice to the definition, so I wouldn't want to go through all of that.
Yeah.
But if I want to pick on gaslighting, there is a portion of gaslighting that actually is worse than people think.
Mm-hmm. It's worse than people think.
And that is when when your partner or when the person who is the gaslighter is not able to just gaslight you, but gaslight everyone around you.
Yeah.
So that you cannot complain about your problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you are dealing with, say, a spouse who is a sweetheart to all your family members.
Yeah.
Like, this guy will literally catch a bullet for them. Like, this guy is sweet. And everybody knows that you are trouble, kakra. Mm-hmm. You have small trouble.
So they use it against you.
They use it against you. So this guy is torturing you in the house, doing whatever. And whenever you mention it to anybody, they don't believe it. This guy can be the church pastor you are married to.
Yeah.
This guy can be the counselor that you are married to. This guy can be the who? It could be anybody that no one expects to be doing that. And so they kind of have this social credibility.
Yeah.
So whenever they complain about you or they say something about you, all they need to do is to get two or three people to agree with him. Then you are the one.
This is who you are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I told you, you see, you don't understand these issues. You see, your sister even understood it. Your sister understood it.
Yeah.
You are too difficult. You are saying these things. Yeah. That's how your sister is. That's how she is. She's stressing all of us. Like joke.
Yeah.
Sowing seeds in people's mind. So it's very easy. At some point in time, you let go. Because then, how could my husband or my wife be right? How can my family members be right? How can everybody around me be right? And I'm the only, be wrong. And I'm the only person who is right. Maybe they are rather right
and I'm wrong.
So you take that step back and gradually you begin to lose your sense of what is real. So like something like Ariel said, like randomly you catch your husband having an inappropriate moment with the house help. It's like, what are you talking about? What, you came to see us? What, I was touching something on her? Honey, I'm not sure you saw right.
Yeah.
You saw me touching her hair.
You're at it again.
But what is on her hair that you think I'll touch?
Yeah.
Like, look at this girl's hair. Like, even your hair, how you are touching. They will make you feel that you didn't see what you saw. So there is that gaslighting bit. Now, when we talk about the stonewalling, sometimes the people who do the stonewalling, sometimes they think by doing the stonewalling, they are creating peace at home.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that is where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
But what they fail to understand is that you aggravate your partner. You know, there are different conflict resolution styles. There are some people, they want to talk about the issue now. I am one of those people. And then there are some people, they want to sleep over it and then talk about it the next day or two days later.
There are those who wanted to
pile up. Who want to sweep it under the carpets. Let's just pretend nothing has happened after 2 or 3 days.
Mm.
After brushing each other in the doorway, sleeping on the same bed and everything, wake up and we'll all forget about it. You see, and so the last two are the people who are most likely going to stonewall. But you see, what you do is that the other person wants to have the conversation now. So
just
sometimes
deal with it.
Yes. But you see, in their mind, they think, the way I am feeling, if I open my mouth, there'll be fireworks in this house. I just needed a day or two to calm down. But you see, what you are at that particular moment, that is not communicated to your partner. All you have to do is to tell the person that, listen, I'm not in the right frame of mind to engage in this conversation.
No.
I'm in a very bad place now. Can we have this conversation at another time? Then it ceases to be stonewalling. But you might have the best of intent, but if it's not communicated,
then
in the person's mind, you are intentionally stonewalling me.
Mm.
I'm asking you a question, you're changing the topic.
Yeah.
I'm cornering you here, bringing a question again, you change the topic.
Mm-hmm.
You suddenly receive a phone call. You suddenly remember you have to go and do something. It's like I'm literally following you around with the question or with the issue and you are avoiding it. In your mind, you think you are trying to save the situation, but to that person, you are stonewalling. So there is that. The gaslighters, as for them, that's how they are. The English word to describe them is narcissist. You understand? They are narcissistic. So they are more self-centered.
Yeah.
And so everything that plays around the relationship has to center on them. So it's not about you. You happen to be a victim in their whirlwind. If it's about their car, the car has to be unique. If it's about where they live, it has to be unique. It's about what they dress, their dressing has to be unique. Like everything has to be. And so what you yes, the struggle you have is when they are with people who don't allow them, they move away. So if you observe, most gaslighters are always the championata in their little groups. They are the big fish in a small pond. You know, yeah, they are the big fish in the pond. Thank you. Until a bigger fish comes and they leave the pond.
They can't stay with big fish.
Until they leave the pond because somebody's about to call you out. You know, and they don't like that. So yes, they always pick the victim. They always pick the weaker people.
Person,
they always pick people they can prey on. You know, and then they take. So yes,
that's why they need to identify your weakness.
Yes,
so and then when it comes that to
and then when it comes to manipulation, anybody who is a gaslighter, who is a stonewaller,
and it's also a manipulator.
Manipulating you eventually. Yeah. And what I also notice happens with these people will be that then you're constantly seeking validation from them.
Sadly.
It has to be their way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they are not happy and you are not happy.
Yeah.
It has to be what they think. Otherwise, you are not thinking and nobody else is thinking. Like PG said, it has to be about them. Or it's about nothing. And you know that they can be sweethearts too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very sweet.
Very sweet.
And nice people.
Yeah.
And because of that, you always also want to find yourself around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that tends to happen is that if you don't take care, you end up losing yourself just to be in their world.
Yeah.
Because if you play according to their dictates, then
you are fine. We are all fine. But then you are losing yourself.
Then you are losing yourself because you have your individuality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You will have to necessarily lose yourself to please them.
To please them, to be in their space.
Yes. In their space,
you will have to necessarily. You can't be yourself, especially so if yourself is not aligned with them, with themselves.
Exactly. Which is why at them, they always pick the people who are malleable.
Mm-hmm.
People can easily be manipulated, moved, changed, shaped. Strong personalities are people. Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, you have to know yourself to be a strong personality.
First and foremost, you need to know yourself.
You need to believe in yourself. You need to have a
some form of confidence in yourself
when it comes to who you are. And if you are that person, you don't stay in toxic work environment. You don't stay in toxic church environment. You don't stay in toxic environment. Every environment that's toxic, you don't.
You can move.
Including your marriage. And narcissists don't want that. So they pick the people who are more of a phlegmatic nature, not in terms of temperament, but people are kind of laid back, you know, kind of chilled, kind of easygoing, kind of, all right, if nobody's dying, let's get up, let's go with this. Kind of, yeah, I'll do this for you. Kind of, in the name of love, I'll do this for you. They pick those people because then naturally they are amenable to being changed, to being manipulated.
And if you ever step out of line,
then all hell will come loose.
Yeah, they will punish you.
Okay. So now we understand these things. And I'm sure that if you're listening, you're beginning to see how it is playing out somehow in your life, in your relationship. I mean, it's very easy for you to understand and for you to relate to. So now the next leg of our conversation is, if I have now come to understand this, and oh, I have an epiphany, this light bulb moment because of the conversation we're having, and the person now realizes that, oh, so this is it. Because you know that you're doing the things, but you're not happy. But you just don't understand why. Well, this is it. I want us to talk about how this individual who is the victim of this manipulation is feeling. How is it affecting this person? And if we come to understand how it's affecting you and how it's affecting the relationship, how do we deal with it? Mm. This has always been my approach to the conversations we have had in the past couple of weeks, because we need to make the conversation relatable.
Yeah.
We need to make the topics relatable.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we want to help you to live better lives in your relationships and your marriages.
Yeah.
And this one for me is very, 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 very key, because it has a lot to do with your mental health. And you know mental health issues.
Yeah.
It's not physical until you probably have gone off.
Yeah.
It's not physical until you probably have gone off. And by the time you're going off, maybe nothing can be done. Actually, say asano no. So we don't want it to suffer you. And so it's important that we're listening and paying attention. So that's the next leg of the conversation I'm coming to. But in just a little bit, you've missed quite a bit. We're talking about stonewalling, gaslighting, manipulation, what it is, how people employ it. And now we want to have a conversation around how it affects the individuals who are victims to these forms of manipulation and how it also affects the relationship. And then we will go on to talk about how to handle such situations if you find yourself in them. PG.
So, Adam, when you talk about stonewalling and gaslighting and the rest, the first thing you would realize tend to be the impact on the victim has to be in the area of their own personal impression of themselves. You get to find out that most people who have gone through that, or most people who are currently going through that, they seem to have an impression of themselves which isn't authentic to themselves.
Yeah.
Most often, when they're talking about themselves and when they're talking about their opinions, impression, perspective, you realize that they speak as though it comes from another person. You realize they don't own.
They don't have a voice.
Exactly. So when they are under a lot of scrutiny or they are under intense questioning, you see them, they struggle. You see that they fumble because obviously this is not their unique, authentic self. So there is that. There is also the question of how eventually it impacts the quality of the relationship itself. It affects communication, it affects intimacy, it affects interpersonal relationship in the areas of how both are, how do I even say it, how both are working towards a common goal. You find out that eventually it's just one voice that is speaking in the relationship. It's the voice of the manipulator. Now, even if the manipulated or the victim is also speaking, in a way it kind of reflects the gaslighter or the manipulator's voice. So in principle, it's just one opinion that two people are sharing, because one person has co-opted the other person into their own opinion. So there is that. And ultimately, there is also a certain tension that you find available in the relationship. You find a certain unease or uneasiness, a certain tension in there, because everybody is trying, especially the victim, he or she is trying very well not to upset the peace in the relationship. They are being very careful. They are watching what they are saying. They are making sure that everything they are doing is consistent with the expectation of the manipulator or the abuser. So ultimately, there is this uneasiness, there is this tension, there is this choreography in the house. It's like everything has to be carefully choreographed, carefully acted out, because I don't want to dress in a way that offends my partner, because she's already talked about this dressing. But this is my body shape. This is what I feel very careful about. So I need to be careful not to accidentally or unconsciously buy clothing that the person doesn't like. So you see, if you even step forward in the shop and you're trying to pick clothes, things like something as intimate as clothes for yourself, you have to make your choice through the lens of someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, my partner doesn't like these perfumes. He says they are too strong. They smell like tunale. I look kind of cheap. So even perfumes, fragrance that I love, I need to change them so that I don't offend this person. There was a time I used this fragrance. This guy left me. This guy sat in the car and said he can't be in the same car with me, so I should drive my car. We're going to the same place. I beg, I don't want that again. So now let me buy a different perfume. So on different level, you realize that your reality isn't your reality again. And so in a marriage where you expect some supporting divergent opinion, you know, just so that at every point in time we have multiple thoughts on the same issue, now we have just one thought, because I'm beginning to think like you just for the sake of peace, it's not healthy in any relationship.
And you're not them, so you can never achieve
You can never achieve perfection. You can never own it. That's it.
Will never attain.
Exactly.
So you will, you will keep changing yourself every day.
Exactly.
Just to suit them.
And Adam, another thing, sometimes they themselves don't know what they want.
The victims, the manipulators.
They don't know what they want. So it's like constantly you are living an experiment. Today I don't like this. Yeah, today I don't like this. No, yeah. No. The next time you repeat the same thing. No, but why did you do it this way? Ah, but last time you said you don't want this way. Yeah, but I said last time. Yeah, that was last time. You know, today I want it done in a
different
way.
They just want to stay in control.
So on different levels, it's like you are an experiment.
Oh dear.
And so constantly you are confused.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the house helps back in the 90s and the 80s who used to live with our crazy mothers. Like screaming at the girls, yelling at them. And so sometimes you see house help breaking plates and glasses, not because they are clumsy, but because they are scared. They are confused.
Yeah.
You touch the plate, hey, make sure you don't break it. Crossing, you know, where China made a Pyrex. You know those days? We call some Pyrex.
Those
are the correct ones.
Pyrex
bowls, not the chichi ones.
The ones they arrange.
Thank you, in the wardrobe.
Today I want to eat in a Pyrex.
What's the name? The room divider.
Yes.
Well, they come different, right?
We have come a long way.
I know, right?
I can imagine what these Gen Zs will say today if they see those.
If they see these things, you know? And these house helps are, you know, like they're shaking, they're dropping things, you see, when it happens, instead of our mothers taking a step back and realizing that, listen, this girl is under a lot of stress, what we do is that we pile up more. And that's what actually happens in some homes. Some spouses are literally like house helps. And I'm not talking about just women. There are some men.
Yeah.
They are literally at the beck and call of their wives. You know, because you love the woman. You don't want to offend her. You don't want her to be moody. You would do anything, roll on the floor for them. And the more you do that, the more they manipulate you. Because they realize that when they jump, you will come. So eventually the guy becomes, in fancy, we said, why? Why? Like, you are light. You're like a stressed. You know, and so yes.
I don't want to divert, and I don't want, you know, time to catch up with us when we have not. But I am tempted to ask, how do people end up in these marriages and relationships?
It's a long story.
Yeah, people fall in love. And I think, I remember there was a day, I was having a conversation with someone on temperament, and then the person's position was that, well, unlike poles attract. That is why we are always attracted to people who are not like us.
Mm.
And I said, that is true. But at the end of the day, you don't live with attraction. You live with your reality.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you are living with someone that you don't struggle to align with, it's better than someone who is different from you. So constantly you have to negotiate. Yeah. Constantly you have to sell. You are literally selling. You are like a salesperson every day in your marriage. Because to everything, they are looking at it from different perspective from you. But you see, if somebody shares similar opinions, like your bestie from secondary school, sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Once the gig lands, they know your opinion. They'll make the decision for you. So you realize that when people are alike, but you see, at the point of attraction, at the point of dating, at the point of getting to know each other, it's not the similarities. Because this person begins to behave like you. You don't want that. You want somebody who brings something different to the table.
Diversity is nice.
So you get all of that until you realize that the diversity wasn't just positive. It has a negative side as well. And sometimes people are not willing to change who they are. So that diversity, which is on the negative, become a lot more. Therein lies a manipulation. Because now the person realizes that on the basis of reasoning on the issue, they can't control you. So they begin to control your perception on that issue and on different issues. And once they are able to hold it from there, it becomes a macro management. Then the micro indices within the relationships, what you wear, who you talk to, where you go to, the kind of job you do, why don't you quit your job, your nightlife, your this, they begin to have control over it because they have the control over the bigger picture. They are able to let you know that they are in for your good. They love you. Nobody else can love you more than they do. And from there, they start getting in. So yes, people get into it and you don't even see it, like a lamb being led to the slaughter.
Yeah.
you wake up and
you become, you are completely finished or finished completely.
Yeah.
Unless you begin to make excuses for them.
Thank you.
When you begin to make excuses for all of these,
yeah.
You are finished completely, or you are completely finished. I don't know which one is best. Real.
So, and some of the other thing with these treatments, stonewalling, leaves you in frustration. You're always frustrated because there's, you, everybody have a voice. I don't know if you know the chakras. We have a throat chakra, which means we have our truth. We have our share. We have our message. So when you're in a relationship and you're being stonewalled, it's like your throat is suppressed. You can't talk. You can't bring out your truth. And it is something that really leaves you frustrated and hopeless and helpless because you know that I want to tell PG that this is how I feel, this is what I saw, this is how it's coming out for me, and PG doesn't allow you to speak. It can be very, very frustrating when you can't be heard. Your truth cannot be heard. Your voice can't be heard. It can go on and actually lead to physical health problems. Everybody's well-being is affected as soon as you find yourself in a toxic environment. Your contentment of life is affected. Now, when you find yourself with somebody who is manipulating you, you end up always having to defend yourself, always having to apologize. So you're always saying, I'm sorry about something, to defend yourself, I'm sorry. And there's no safety. You feel like I'm not safe. You are in a place that you know it's like a prison. You have no freedom. And the more it continues, like Paige is saying, you lose who you are. You don't remember your truth anymore because you can't speak your truth. You can't even, I mean, make simple decisions. And gaslighting comes with that. You can't make a decision. Simple decisions, you can't make it because you need to rely on the person's likes and their dislikes. You become somebody who doesn't even know yourself. That's why knowing ourselves is one of the most important things you can do to yourself. Getting to know your likes, your dislikes, your weaknesses, your strength, and having a lot of self-awareness to know why you even think the way you think, why you act the way you act, why you behave the way you behave. So that when someone is pushing you out of your true authentic self, you can know that if I do this, I'm compromising who I am. So if you find yourself in these things, it gets to a place where you're living on eggshells around the person because it has to be the person feeling comfortable. There's one thing I didn't mention. People who are giving you this manipulation and gaslighting thing make you feel when they are not happy, you are responsible for that. You did something, that's why they are not happy. So they are always making you feel you have a bad character, you have a bad behavior, you are the one causing the unhappiness. So Debia, every day you get up, you have to act a certain way so that they are happy. But by doing that, you compromise yourself. Even simple things like what you want to eat. I mean, I remember an experience I had about talking about a dream car. Just a dream car. I mean, like, oh, this car is nice. This is the car I dream of having. Somebody who, you can't dream of wanting something they don't want for you.
Who permitted you to dream?
No, how? You can't dream. So it gives you a small world. It limits you to live in their shadows because you can't also know everything they want. And every day it's a different story. Every day is different. You stand this way, it doesn't please them today. So tomorrow, you don't know how to. So there's confusion in your life. Total chaos in your life because you are living to please someone else and they are controlling you so that they feel okay in their own space. Now, as it goes on, with time, you start to get to a place where you get stuck in life. You get stuck in life in that everybody has an individual vision, dream, things they want to achieve. But such people will not allow you to even hear this truth about yourself in your mind mentally. Your mind becomes blocked by every day, how do I make sure this person, big brother or brother man in my life or sister woman, is okay with me? So your thoughts moves away from your calling, your visions, your dreams, only to try and suit them. Now, they make it seem like it's all good for you. What they are doing is good for you as well. So you get to a place where you realize, I don't know who I am. I've lost my self-worth. I've lost my self-esteem. I have no confidence. I'm not making decisions about my life. I have nothing of me to say, I did this. I came to this decision. And when it gets there, you are discontent with life. And that starts affecting you mentally, emotionally, psychologically. Because life is supposed to feel good for everybody. You're supposed to have some freedom to make your choices, to make your decisions, to actually go after your calling. But if that freedom is not there because somebody uses all these tactics to hold you, after a while, you start shutting down. A part of you starts shutting down. And it goes to your spiritual side as well. Because you can't even hear God. Because all you hear is this person trying to listen to them, even at a point that what you can't hear, you are trying to hear because you don't even know them fully. And it can lead to a lot of damage on an individual mind, body, and spirit. And not a good space to thrive at all.
I hear you. I hear PG. But here's this person. The person is listening to you. Like I said, they've had that light bulb moment. They have an epiphany. They've come to that realization. But they love their manipulator. Mm.
Trauma bonding.
I love this person. I can't see myself without them. Because there are lots of good they have done in your life as well, and you can attest to it.
Yeah.
Yet, you know your head is spinning around them. And of course, by all that we have said, we know how this is affecting the relationship. One word to describe such a relationship is a master-servant relationship. That's what it becomes. Because you will have to obey for the relationship to thrive. And that's not how relationships are supposed to be. It's a partnership, not a master and a servant. But if you're living with a stonewaller or somebody who is gaslighting you, manipulating you in many other ways, and you want your peace of mind, then you just have to obey. And like we're saying, you end up losing yourself. Like, well, you want to buy perfume and you're thinking about what perfume they will appreciate before you buy it. Mm. You're buying a pair of shoes. The first thing that comes to you is, what would they say about the shoe?
Mm-hmm.
Or you quickly want to take a picture of it and send to them and find out, do they like it before you buy it?
And it's not from a place of love. It's from a place of fear.
Yeah, exactly. You're afraid.
There are two different things.
Yes.
Sometimes people do that from a place of love. Yes. Yeah. I'll do this to impress my partner.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then sometimes people
because
do that
they compliment your choices. Yes,
exactly. Because
they compliment your choices, not what they chose for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
If so you can call them and say, do you like this?
If you didn't have to ask, you will buy it straight away.
Exactly.
If you didn't have to ask, you get it straight away because you like it.
And that's good.
You have fitted it and you think that, oh, wow, this thing will give me another sling in my step.
Yeah.
But would they like it? So we understand that it really isn't, it's from a place of compulsion that you do that. Okay. But then there is the place where you truly and genuinely also love this person and you don't want to lose them, yet you are becoming frustrated. The whole thing is becoming is beginning to affect your physical and mental well-being. You're making excuses for their bad character. You begin to feel uneasy. There's a lot of tension around you. You become a conformist, you know, because you're living in somebody else's world. Was a real who talked about the fact that your world becomes very small, you know, and you are just not there anymore. You are not there.
You are not there.
Somebody is living through you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you love the person. And you've also realized that you're going through all of these things. Mm. What do you do?
So it's okay to love.
Fiji, why did you do?
You know,
it's the conflict.
Yeah.
The conflict in that reality.
Yeah.
Falling in love with that person from the beginning, you may not have assessed all these things at the beginning.
Yeah.
And that is okay to not know fully the picture before you went into the relationship. Or even when you go into the relationship, you saw it. but you still went on and got married. You are there. What do you do? Mm-hmm. You still love this person. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have children with them already. You've invested so much into them already. What do you do? Now, the question is, how is this affecting you? Where has the impact of all these treatments reached in your life?
8 over 10.
If it's 8 over 10, then we are getting to where I am going to say that, plans. Make the decision. So the question is, how is this affecting you? Where has it reached in your life? That is the basis of making a decision. How much it's affecting you?
Let me come in, because I am playing the devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Yes, it's affecting the person 8 over 10, right? What decision do I want to make? I don't want to leave.
Yes, madam.
All I want is for the person to understand that what they are doing is affecting me. You. And once they understand it and they begin to mend their ways, we are good. Mm. I don't want to leave. Okay. And that's the reality of a lot of people.
People. Yeah. Yes. You don't want to leave, and I'm not asking you to leave. But if you get to assess where you have reached, then what can you start doing to first save you? That is my concern. Save you first.
What will save me is the person understanding that I am hurting.
Oh, then that saving will be difficult, because until the person will understand you, they need to agree that they have this problem. If they don't agree or they don't have that awareness, you will not be able to bring them to that state. That is why the effort you are going to invest to try to let them see that what they are doing is affecting you, rather use that effort and energy to see how you can protect yourself, how you can, set out to heal, or to bring yourself up to a place where you have your own voice, where you can make your own decision, where you can actually reduce the impacts of what the person is doing. Because the more you are trying to change the person, the more you are going down. Until they say yes, they see themselves and say, yes, I have this problem, I need help. Or yes, what have I done? Or they agree to go to therapy with you together, and during therapy, with the workbooks and the assessments forms that you are filling, he starts having some awareness of his own behavior. In there, while the person has done all this for you, where you are at 8 over 10, and you are still forcing to let them see what they are doing, you are actually going to go deep if they don't agree with you. So that is not the work you have to fight doing if you are 8 over 10. If you are 8 over 10, you need to save yourself, because you have 2% to finish. So you save yourself to get to 4 over 10. If it's 4 over 10, then you can use some of the energy to start finding ways, therapies, coaches, counselors, or any form of help, praying for this person to start becoming aware of their own behavior and what they are doing. Because you can't leave yourself at 8 and start helping this person. So you leave it and save you first by finding your own healthy coping mechanism, healthy boundaries to set, finding ways to communicate with them, finding ways to not trigger them. And this is why I say you need to know your abuser than they know themselves. When you realize what this person is doing, sometimes you don't have to even tell them, this is who you are. You are a manipulator. No. Knowing is enough work for you to now know how to live with them. Because if you tell them and they don't agree, they will start telling you are their problem, you are calling them, they will gaslight you again. So if you get to know, so this is what I'm dealing with. Now, how do I get knowledge and information on how to live with such a person is the first point of call you need to start finding. Because you love them. And nobody can make that decision for you whether to leave or not. But at 8 over 10, you need to save yourself at that point. So if you agree you've gone that deep, lost who you are and everything, start finding your healthy coping mechanism. Start finding boundaries you can use. Start trying to understand that this person, this is how they are. I'm going to start living with him from a place of forgiveness. Instead of always taking the heat of it and grinding myself, I'm going to forgive what they do from here and start looking at ways to understand why they do what they do so I won't fall into their prey. That is where you start from 8 over 10.
So this problem cannot be solved from the person's point of view.
You can't solve it. Unless the person agrees and sees themselves and have enough self-awareness and can tell themselves that I don't like how I'm impacting the world around me and the people in my life. You can't solve it.
Until then,
you have nothing. It is between you, yeah. Yeah, it's not your work to do.
There's a message here. Yeah, Samuel. It's difficult though. It says, I am Samuel. Adam, you're describing my wife. Oh, I can't do anything on my own. Mm-hmm. She's sweet and very beautiful. In our 18 years journey, every key decision has been her way. Otherwise, I can't have the least peace of mind. I'm always apologizing. She's always fighting people around us and would want me to be on her side, even when she is wrong.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, she asked me to make a call for her with my phone. At a time, I was just about to place a call. She gave me the number on her phone, but by the time I completed mine within 1 minute, her phone locked, and so I pleaded with her to unlock so I can see the number. She then questioned me why I did not make a call first and that she was not going to unlock the phone.
Wow,
she then went mute and wouldn't mind me again, and I am learning a lot from you.
Wow. Yeah. There it is.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
your own phone.
Yeah. And sometimes I had a friend.
Your own phone.
I had a manipulator friend. He calls you and you don't answer. When you call back, what makes me calling to me? I won't pick it for you to feel punished that I didn't talk to you. You know, that kind of thing. Because I missed your call.
Yeah.
It can be that bad. But if you don't have enough information, you won't see these things.
I wish this was TV. You'd see my reaction. Yo,
man. Yeah.
My credits.
Yeah.
Your own credits.
My exactly. phone.
Your own phone. Yeah.
Because I didn't make your call first,
yeah.
You didn't talk to me again.
Didn't talk to me again. And Adam, that is a lot of people's reality.
Hey.
Yeah. It's a lot of people's reality. You didn't do this, I won't do this.
This one is hard.
Yeah. You didn't do this, I won't do this. You didn't do this, I won't do that. Yeah, so it's a lot of people's reality.
Hey.
Yeah.
I won't talk to you again. Yeah. Especially the silent treatment.
Yeah. Stonewall.
It's major.
Ah, no, the message didn't finish. Wait. There is Seymour. Read more.
Oh, it's finished. I'm learning a lot from you. Yeah.
Wow. Someone,
it is well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually, I want to believe, Samuel, that you're picking few nuggets from the conversation we're having. Let me come back to you, PG, because now we are looking for solution.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Adam, I'm going to pick...
Ariel's
masterclass.
Big word is... save yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick it from there. Ariel says something. I mean, I'm going to pick it from the latter part of the conversation where you were talking about, so if the person is unwilling to make the changes, then what next? And you are basically on your own. That's one of the things that we always miss when we are having conversations about marriage and conflict in the marriage. We always assume that it can be fixed by one person. But no, it cannot. Actually, that is the cause of a lot of problems in our marriages. Where, especially, I mean, from the generation before us, our mothers and, you know, their mothers, most often than not, it was their attempts to fix the problem alone that led to their depression, that led to their suicide, that led to their death, that led to so many things. Because the man does no wrong, you understand? And sometimes you find that a reality, you know, in our current marriages. And it takes two to tango, like we say. So you can't tango alone. There is no beauty in you tangoing alone. Tangoing.
Doing the salsa alone.
Exactly. It's always in tandem with somebody else. It's always a partnership.
Yeah.
And so it's important we understand this. Even if you don't agree with your partner, at least try and hear them out. Try and understand, what are they saying? They keep complaining.
Yeah.
What are they saying? At least Mr. Gaslighter, Mr. Manipulator, Mr. Stonewaller, Miss all of that, can you at least listen to your partner? Because there is something they're trying to communicate that, you know, probably you are not paying attention to. But that said, like Ariel said, the first thing would be for you to create that awareness or create that awareness with your partner.
Yeah.
But first you need to know yourself. and you need to understand what you are going
dealing
through.
With. Yeah.
Yes, you need to. You need to get everything clear. You know, so that's, if it means you have to think on paper, pick pen and paper and write them, write it down. Yeah. Why do I always feel this way? Why does my partner always expect this and this and this? Like, do all of that. Do your own research. Now, there are so many AI tools there. Just put your questions in there. It will give you something at least to start with. You understand? I mean, on your WhatsApp, there's Meta AI. Mm-hmm. You know, just do, so at least you have a fair idea of who you are, you know, and who you are dealing with and who your partner is and all of that. So that's the basic. Then the next thing would be for you to address the issue. Bring it up. Have that conversation. And again, I think it's also an African thing, a Ghanaian thing. We hate confrontation. Ghanaians are very British, very proper. We hate confrontation. We are not like our brothers in the East. No, they will tell you to your face. And they will just move on.
This at the back of your mind whilst you continue and add it to your answer.
Okay, sure.
So, have the conversation.
Yes.
Remember that we're dealing with a stonewaller, a gaslighter, ultimately a manipulator.
Yeah.
And this person's response to you wanting to have the conversation will be like,
silence.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Cool. And they withdraw. Yeah. So have that.
We'll come to that. Yeah, we'll come to that. Well, I think it would be very good for me to address that now because I'm talking about having a conversation.
Yeah,
yes.
So
when I'm teaching communication, I always say that there are different types of communication, style of communication for an appropriate time.
Yeah.
So there are things that you say. There are things you don't say because of the time, because of the place, because of the situation. There are things that you just use your body language to communicate to your partner. There are things you don't say, you don't communicate to your body language. You send them written communication. And I normally do encourage people to fight on WhatsApp because it's instant chat. So you are making mistakes. Can becomes can't. Mm. It changes the meaning of what you are saying. Sometimes you finish reading your own WhatsApp message, you are like, whoa.
Did I write that?
I don't even understand what I've written. How can the person understand? So don't do that. But take your sweet time and send them an email. Email stays there forever unless it's intentionally deleted. All you need is an internet and a login password. And for 100 years, you still have that email sitting there. Take your time and break it down and write it. Listen, I've been trying to have this conversation with you. Tried several times and it's not going anywhere. So I just took my time to send you this email and I hope you find the time and the patience to read it through. You don't need to respond if you don't feel like responding, but I need you to feel how I am feeling and type your thoughts. Don't send it. Save it in your outbox or your drafts. The next day, reread it. By that time, your emotions would have gone out. Calm down. Remove all the unnecessary emotional jargons and all the blow-ups and everything. Clean it up. Make it very formal, very appealing, but less emotional outburst. And send it to the person. Trust me. Paragraph on paragraph. You'll be screaming. You'll be fuming. You'll be doing whatever, but you still read it. That, you get the information to him.
Mm-hmm.
What he does with the information, that's... See, Adam, sometimes we think that when we complain, people should change instantly. Mm. No, leave people time. Yeah. Give people time. Leave them alone. It will marinate gradually. It will start taking shape in them. They'll become aware of their own actions, especially where they don't know that this is actually who they are.
Affecting
and that's actually how you are affecting your partner. So when you do that, it takes time, but eventually they come there. Adam, that would be the only way to have that communication. Because like you were saying, I start talking, you walk away. If the person will sit and listen and not walk away, if the person will sit and listen and not physically look distracted, say on the phone, on TV and everything, just sit and listen, that's good enough.
But you know, PG, there are people who will do the, oh, so now you talk back at me.
Yeah.
So now, and sometimes they will sit and listen.
Yeah.
However, their reaction is that this is what happens.
Yeah.
By the time you find your voice to have that conversation to this manipulator, they are beginning to lose control over you.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Is why you can actually
talk,
even speak. Yeah. And so if their intention is to constantly keep you under control, then they're going to go a notch higher.
A notch higher.
Yeah.
And you begin to seek them.
Yeah.
You begin to want them.
Yeah.
But he knows what he is doing.
Yeah.
And see, he goes a bit up.
Yeah.
And then now you will have to work to get there again.
Yeah.
What they don't want is for them to lose any form of control, no matter how minuscule. They don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how come I was asking that.
I think that's how I will probably go with Ariel to start with. That you will have to do some work on yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Because then this one is a make or break situation. Yeah. You understand? You could go in to have that conversation like you're saying, send the email and all, and they will also become self-aware.
Yeah.
And probably withdraw for a moment for the good, because then they are beginning to see things from your perspective.
Right.
It could also be that you go in to talk, and send this email, and then they're like, you know what? That's you have challenged me.
Yes, but Adam, you see, therein lies what I talked about earlier when I said that we are scared of confrontation.
Yeah.
Most often, when the person takes it a notch higher, you are like, okay, I thought this was going to work. It's not going to work.
I back down. Yeah. That is where the problem is. When you back down, how can you start the war and back down?
Back down. So you should be ready before you go.
What are you thinking when you're confronting
a guy? Should be ready before you go.
You knew that. So, yes, I agree with where Iria was coming from. As in, first you need to know yourself.
Yeah.
First you need to know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And when you're going in, don't go in with two bullets, hoping that two shots and then everything like that. Go in with a full theory. So that if you know, if you go there and the conversation takes place and everything is successful, the rest of the arms you can sell them.
I mean, I like this. But, I mean, I tell people you go to read things on your partner's phone and you find this and you are shaking. Didn't you prepare yourself? What were you going to do?
What did you
should be ready that if I see something that is bad, I'm ready to take it and know what to do.
Exactly.
So you should always prepare yourself. Perfectly. You should be mindful and intentional.
Most often, people do things without plans.
Yeah, like, you should plan.
Like, people are not planners. People are reactionary. They respond to emotional stimulus and all of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you attempted a conversation. The person says, oh, really? And most often, those who are aware of what they're doing, they will take it a notch higher. They won't back down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those who don't know are those who get that epiphany and then they take a step back to assess.
Was what I was coming to say. At the beginning, I mentioned some people don't know they're even doing it. Some people, it is what they want to do.
So those who know that, they are the ones who take it a notch higher.
Mm. Yeah.
But because you are already also bent on getting a solution and then keep and prime in see and there. But
then you have to be ready.
Then you should also be ready.
Yeah.
And that is where eventually it gets to a point where it's two things. It's make or break.
Uh-huh.
That's where you bring in family members or you go see professional.
Uh-huh.
But you see, whichever way it is, at some point in time, you need to get to a place where it's a make or break.
Mm-hmm.
So that if it is breaking, you are ready. Yes, you know that. No, so that you fought for yourself.
Yeah.
But the other party was not willing to let it go.
Yeah.
So you went your way. Mm. Or you fought for yourself and you won your victory. Think of the independence of Ghana. We fought for it and we won
freedom.
And then some people would have also decided not to give to us and would have turned into a war.
Exactly.
Whichever way it is, go for the war.
So what I am trying for us to establish is that by the time you are moving in to have this conversation, whether you want to dialogue or you want to war, whichever way it is, you should have prepared yourself.
Yes.
You should have been at that point where you have weighed your options.
Exactly.
It could either go well or not go well.
And I'm ready to take the consequences.
If it goes well, I am happy
to
compromise to an extent, especially so if he or she is willing to meet me at some point for us to work through it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go well, then my mind is also prepared. I'm mentally prepared to move on.
Yeah.
Because then, trust me, if it doesn't go well and you decide to stay there,
you can still have your boundaries and know how to deal with them.
No, but what are you doing to yourself? We've talked about mental health.
You can have boundaries and stay with such a person and it doesn't affect you.
One thing I would like also to say is that sometimes the blowing up is for a moment. They do that to
passive aggressive.
But immediately you stand your ground. I mean, Adam, we've seen it so many times. Manipulating people eventually crawling back.
Yeah.
It's like wild dogs.
Yeah.
A dog growling, and realize they are not moving. You know, mostly when you go to a house with a wild dog, they will tell you, don't move. Dogs smell fear. So don't panic, don't move. They'll do it. You stand there, you stare them down. Eventually, they walk away.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's how you need to stare down people.
Yeah.
PG, I agree with you two perfectly. But again, we all know that people have different responses to stuff.
Yeah.
There are people who are very stubborn.
True.
They don't want to give in.
Yeah.
You know, no.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when the person is aware of what they are doing.
Yeah.
Like my pastor's wife, Mama Jane, she ever said, she was a quote in church, how do you wake
somebody who is pretending to be asleep.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
That person is pretending to be asleep. You can never wake such a person up.
Yeah.
So this person knows what they are doing. From